A good heart is hard to find. A good heart these days, he said, is hard to find. Fergal Sharkey. And this morning we're going to ask, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean to be good? What makes a person good? If we have an idea maybe in our mind that about, you know, if we know someone and we say, well, that's a good person, what is it exactly that we mean? It's worth having a little think about that. Now, I asked the sleepover folk. I didn't get round everybody, I'm afraid, but I got round to some of the NRG sleepover people and asked them the question, what makes a good person? What does a good person do? And let's see what they came up with.
They are nice.
Ian in a sleeping bag and chucks him down the hill.
A good person sits with you in hospital for 13 hours and waits for you to be operated on.
A good person notices when other people are in pain.
A good person will turn the bottle on you.
A good person is honest and sticks to their friends with everything.
What's a good person do?
Save people from life and death situations.
A good person always helps you out.
Fingers stuck in
a good machine.
More chocolate, please.
A good person is patient. A good person doesn't judge you on what you're like on the outside.
I need it.
A good person thinks about it before themselves. A good person.
Action.
They help old ladies across the road.
Cut.
And also don't do hit and run.
Think to them others before themselves.
A good person is brave.
Yep. Oh yeah, a good person doesn't sin that much.
My brother.
Oh.
Not him either.
Look back at him then.
A good person has a good heart.
Guys, I think there's some wonderful responses there. I mean, some are totally weird to me, but you know, and but some fantastic, very very deep, very profound responses there. We have different ideas, I think, about what is good. And we're talking today about goodness because it appears in a list of things that you should be able to see in a person who's following Jesus. There's a list of eight things that they list in the Bible, like love, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. And like goodness is on the list. And the Bible doesn't waste words, so it must have a particular idea of goodness that is kind of separate from the other good things that are on the list. Going to do a little exercise now, and it's going to involve you guys, because we're going to show a little clip of film of something that happened very recently, and some of you will have seen it on TV. I saw it happen live. It was on a football match in the World Cup. Okay, going to show you the little clip, and then just in the people around you, I'm going to ask you to just, for a couple of minutes, talk about some of the questions. I've just got some questions that are going to come up on the screen about goodness, how it relates to maybe what went on in this match between Ghana and Uruguay. So if we can have the clip, and then there's no sound on it. Now, that would have been a goal. Now, some of you remember that. Some of you were watching that, weren't you, and or saw it on the highlights or something. Just in case any of you couldn't quite catch that, the ball was, there was a melee in the goal mouth, wasn't there, in the penalty area, and the Ghanaian player headed ball fair and square straight into the goal, and a Uruguayan player right on the goal line just put his hands up like that and batted the ball out. Yeah? No goal. Of course, he got a red card, was sent off. It was a penalty, which the Ghanaians sadly missed. Okay. Well, justice, not a part of that at all, in my opinion. But, maybe it is. Because the Uruguayan players said, actually, that was fine. Because the player knew the rules. He knew that if he handled the ball on the goal line, he was going to be sent off. He accepted that. It was all part of the game. He was just being a good team player. Now, just going to... What do you think of that? There's a couple of questions come up on the screen to help you. Just get together in your, just with people just around you and say, you know, what did you feel about that when you saw that? Was it good that he handled the ball? Who was it good for? Was it all right because, you know, it was all part of the game? They accepted the punishment. Here's the nub of the question to me. Did doing that for his team make him a good footballer? And did it make him a good person? You just got about 2 minutes to just discuss that. Have a chat. What do you think? No right or wrong. Guys, I don't know what conclusions you came to. Would anybody like to? Has anybody got anything that came out of what they were talking about that might be of interest to other people? Mabel. That's one of the things we had on our front row group. But we were divided here on the front row. You know, one said that was his job, to keep the ball out. He did his good job for his team. Someone said, no, that was never a good thing to do. That was cheating, you know, which is never a good thing. I guess, did you have the same sort of Josh? Or would have been better, wouldn't it? We wouldn't have had a problem, but it wouldn't have given us our example, mind. But wouldn't that? Wouldn't it have been better to do it without cheating, really? Yeah. It is difficult sometimes when we start to think about what's good and what's bad, because sometimes it's not quite as easy and clear cut as we think. Someone has suggested that it's not possible, actually, it's not possible to be good without God. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be a Christian to be good. It doesn't mean, that you have to follow any particular faith to be good. But without a God, without the idea of God, they suggested, you can't be good. Because without a reference point for goodness, we don't know where we are. You know, this sad story that's been in the news, the gunman, Raoul Moat, and he shot and killed a man, and he shot his girlfriend and shot a policeman and went on the run, threatening others. But on his Facebook, on the Facebook now, and Twitter, there are quite a large number of people saying that what he did was good. What he did to his ex-girlfriend's boyfriend was good. It was, you know, the right thing to do. Now, something I would disagree with, friendly, but there are people there who actually thought he was a hero. We need a standard of goodness. Otherwise, anything we could say bad was good, and we could start to believe. You know, they sometimes talk about we need a true north. You know, if you're following a map, you need a reference point. You need that true north that you can point your compass at and align your map. And God helps us with this idea of goodness because he is a standard for goodness. We had at the beginning, you know, God is good all the time, absolutely good. That's his nature. Wow. And in the Bible, God gives us a definition of goodness found in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, and in a book called Micah, and it says, I'll tell you, O man, what is good. He says, God says it's these three things. Do justly, we'll explain that in a minute, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Do justly, you know, it's saying, actually, that wasn't good, actually, no. Because it wasn't just. There wasn't justice seen in that action of the football. It was cheating. Yeah? And God's saying, in our lives, we've got to do things right. We've got to be right and proper and just. We don't cheat. We don't deceive. Okay. And we've got to have a heart for justice. God says, look around in the world, you know? Christians, people of God, I want you to get stirred up about injustice, about poverty and oppression. and things in the world that aren't right. And that's part of what being good is in God's eyes. Now, I'm going to show a little film clip now. I've got to have this on the DVD because I couldn't make a clip of it. Let's just see if I can take control of the... I did just now. Come along. Because we will need... Ah, good. Okay, this is actually from a film called A Few Good Men. And it's a courtroom scene where Tom Cruise is the prosecuting attorney in a case of court martial in America. Let's see. A man who wanted the truth, a man who wanted justice, and God wants us to be fired up about justice, and the things that are happening in this world, they can be just as scary and intimidating as Jack Nicholson in that film, The Colonel. Let's see if it finds the computer on its own. If it not, I'll persevere with it. We've got to be passionate about justice. But also, the second part, it says love mercy. Okay, mercy is about kindness. Mercy is about forgiveness. We have an idea of what mercy is, but it doesn't say do mercy. It says love mercy. This is something about what is on the inside. This is something not about doing. It's about being. It's about the kind of people we are. Ooh, like that, isn't it? How do I get rid of that? In a minute. It's said that a person shows who they really are when they are completely alone. A person shows who they really are by what they do when they're completely alone. And so God is saying, yeah, to be good, you have to do the right things, but you also have to be right. You have to be right on the inside. And the last thing on the list was walk humbly with your God. Because in the sight of God, it's not just about keeping rules. It's not even about being kind and generous. It's all that, but it's more. Because God created each person for a purpose. And to be truly good, we have to be fulfilling our purpose in the world. The reason that God created us and put us here. God didn't create any no-hopers. Didn't create any also-rans. You know, I've struggled to think about this for myself, but the Bible clearly indicates that God creates every person special, gives them the gifts they've got, and has a reason for doing them, for making them the way they are, and has a purpose in his big plan for each person. Jesus told a story about some men who were given what the Bible calls talents. In those days, talents were like a particular sum of money. And the first man was given lots and lots of talents, lots and lots of money. And he went and he invested it wisely for his master when his master would come back, because this wasn't a gift, it was a loan put in trust. And the second man, he had less. He put the money in the bank where it would have to get some interest. The third one, he was given very little. And he didn't invest it. He didn't put it in the bank. Thank you, Ralph. And there you go. He buried it in the ground. Didn't do anything with it at all. And when the master came back, he praised the first two. He said, "You've done all right. What did you do with yours?" he said to the third man. "I just buried it." Thanks, Ralph. We all have to decide what to do with our lives. But in order to be good, we have to be using the gifts God's given us to accomplish the purpose that he's put us here for. And maybe there's something the world thinks of as big, Maybe something fantastic like the man Rachel was talking about. Maybe somebody, something that no, the wider world won't ever know about. Yeah? Doesn't matter. Maybe it's just helping your neighbours, you know, bringing up, when you have the chance, bringing up your children right. Doing good in the immediate vicinity around you. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's what God put you here for. And if you follow God, if you look for that purpose that he's got for you, he's going to help you find it, because he's as interested as you are in finding the reason, in you finding the reason you're here. And because God is our maker, his purpose is the best. So the best way we can ever spend our lives is according, you know, in that, finding that thing that God wanted us to do and doing it. Because we'll be most productive and we'll be most happy, most fulfilled. So being good, you know, it's what we do day by day. We're walking, we're doing justly. It's who we are. We're loving mercy. And it's that we're each doing what we were put on the earth for. But, you know, there's a problem, I think, with all this. If that's what goodness is, who's going to put their hand up and say they're good? I see no hands. I'm not putting mine up. Oh, Nathan, very, very brave. You know, even now we know maybe what good is. Most of us find it impossible to actually get there. Because goodness has no room to maneuver. You know, goodness is all or nothing in God's eyes. One slip up and we've lost it. You know, I could get up in the morning and, you know, I don't do mornings very well. I'm not really at my best. I could be grumpy. I could be grumpy with my family. I've lost it. I've lost my goodness. You know, somebody says something, does something to me, you know, and it upsets me and it stresses me, and I'm stressed for the rest of the day and I take it out on other people. I've lost my goodness. You know, there's a millions of people living in poverty and I'm living in comfort. I've lost my goodness. And so looking right square on at goodness, we can see it's impossible to attain. Now, there's a myth. I don't know if you ever come across this. There's the myth. There's a man called Sisyphus. Okay, I had to get that right. It's a Greek myth about a man who was punished for being rebellious against the gods, okay, the Greek gods. And his punishment, we're hopefully going to see it. His punishment was to roll a ball up a hill forever. And every time it got to the top, it would roll back down. And that was his punishment forever and ever and ever. And goodness can feel a bit like that. And this is Pink Floyd's take on the myth of the story of Sisyphus. We have our clip. Lovely. Pretty grim. Pretty grim. To have to, and in the original myth, it was a giant stone ball like that. Push it and push it. Sometimes being good, to me, feels like, because I really want to be good, you know. I've got to that point when I don't want to be bad anymore. I want to be good. And the trouble is, I keep being bad, you know. And the ball keeps rolling off down the hill, and I feel like, but this morning, you know, we're looking at goodness as it appears in the Bible, in the book, in a New Testament book of Galatians, which we've been following for a few weeks. And in this list of, you know, what we can expect to have in our lives when we follow Jesus Christ, the Bible says, yes, goodness is possible. And goodness is not like a big ball that you have to push up the hill. It's not a burden to us. It's a gift from God. We get it. We get it. And it sets us free to live the life God created us for. And it's all possible because of the death and the risen life of Jesus Christ. Because we have the death of Jesus Christ for forgiveness. We all fail to be perfectly good. And so when Jesus died, it was God's way of saying, yeah, okay, when you mess up, you can be forgiven. You don't have to carry that burden around with you of failing when you mess up. Okay, you make amends where you can. You say sorry to God. and you move on. That's the gift, that's the offer of God through the death of Jesus on the cross. Secondly, we have the risen life of Jesus. You know, we can't always be good, but Jesus can never be anything less than totally good. That's his nature. Wow. And so, we are always expecting as Christians, like, forward motion, all right? I'm going to call it forward motion towards goodness. John Newton, have you ever heard of John Newton? He was a very bad man. He was a slave ship owner in the 1700s. Very cruel man. He did terrible, terrible things, because that's what it was like when they took the slaves across the oceans in the ships. And so many of them died because the conditions were awful, cruel, just plain cruel. And John Newton was a hard and cruel man, and he met Jesus Christ, and it changed his life completely. And he said this a bit later on in his life. You know, he looked at his life, he said, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I'm not what I was. Forward motion. And so life following Jesus isn't a life of drifting, stagnation. It's a life with a purpose. It's a life where we see God changing us little by little so that we become more and more good. And our goodness is good for us. It's good for those around us. Our goodness is good for the world. I'm going to ask George to come out now. Before, you know, the Bible says that, you know, we can never outdo God's goodness. You know, we can be good. Hope we will be good. God's going to try, God's going to help us to be good. But we can never outdo God in terms of goodness. God is just really, really good. And George is just going to share in a couple of minutes what he's encountered the goodness of God.
Okay, Robin asked me just to write a sort of brief testimony. As some of you know, I became a Christian in 2003, which is 7 years ago, and that was after coming on an Alpha course. And even to this day, I remember that moment really, really well. I remember the feeling of the Holy Spirit coming into my heart, and that real sort of warmth that filled me at the time. And the first sort of 2 years were filled with, I was very fortunate and blessed that I was able to preach and also involved with Alpha courses. But what followed after that was a period where I became very disillusioned and felt more and more isolated from God. And you often read how prayer is the answer, and I try to pray, and nothing really seemed to happen. And just before Robin became our pastor, I really felt that God was asking me to preach again. And after about 6 months, after I had that sort of feeling and the message, I was able to deliver God's message again. Now, last year, I lost my job, and during this time, Rachel and myself felt this most enormous sense of peace and of God's blessing and his real presence as well. And it was a time when we were worried and we faced disappointments, but we always felt that God was there and that God was blessing us. And one of the things that we learned during that period of time was actually that prayer was a major driver for everything that we did. And I know that when I didn't have the strength to pray, Rachel prayed for us all. Over the last few months, I became very, very down, and I felt this real enormous sense of anger and kind of emotions that I'd never really sensed before. And I was due to preach in June, and I remember sort of saying to Robin that I felt I couldn't stand up and preach to people. But what I have done is I've continued to pray And I was recently at the village cafe where I met someone who I'd never spoken to, never met before. And he turned around and he said to me that he had a message from God for me. And the message was that he felt that God wanted him to tell me that I had been through the refiner's fire and that now I was coming into a period of rich blessings. For a number of reasons, I knew that this message was from God. I also know that I've still got a long way to go. But prayer and that constant talking to God really, really helps. About 2 weeks ago, I had my bike stolen. And for me, that was a real sort of test as to where I am. The bike I bought with my redundancy money, and so it was quite special. It was quite expensive, or it was very expensive. and I was really sad when I walked out there, and I was standing there with my hat and my cycle bags, and the bike wasn't there. I did feel a little bit stupid as well, but anyway, it wasn't there. And but that's what I felt. I felt sad, and I wasn't angry. And I wasn't looking for someone to blame. And for me, I suddenly realised that I had gone through a period where all that anger had gone. And I was feeling much more at peace. And only God can really bring that sense of peace. And two things that I want to leave you with. One, that an image that I got from God a few months ago has always been in my mind, and then something that I read only yesterday. A few months ago, this image came of a person stepping out of a boat and sinking in the water. And in front of that person was Jesus holding out his hand. And for me, it was almost like decision time. Do I sink, or do I take gradual steps out of the water and come back to Jesus? And it was only yesterday I was reading a book by Dr. Jack Deere called Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. And I read this, which I thought really sort of summed up a lot of things. I'd never again feel the comfort and security that comes from thinking you are in control of your life. Granted, that's false security. I know that now. But does it feel good to be under the spell of that illusion? Do you know, I'm so thankful to God for the next stage of this journey. Thank you.
Be able to stand up now, and because we're just going to sing. The group's going to, we got a treat because Ian is going to play his saxophone for us, and we're going to sing a song. We use images sometimes to show what God is, what God does in our lives, and this is there are various images. God obviously isn't a river, but we're using this as an image, as a picture of God sort of flowing, you know, through with goodness. And flowing into our lives. And this is a song that says that I want the goodness of God in my life. So river, wash over me. Let's stand up and we can sing. Would you like to sit down and just have a word to close? You know, as we go from here, we're going remembering how good God is and how much he loves us. And we remember that we're going to ask him, Lord, would you go with us out into the world? And we know that you will go with us. Amen. Stay behind for, you know, teas and coffees and squashes and biscuits. That will be great. And I hope you all have an early night tonight. You got a good bed now, have you?